What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producers Corner with Spud Too Tight. Man, I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very gifted and prolific saxophonist and singer who's creating and maintaining a huge musical buzz in the jazz community. Please put your hands together and welcome jazz saxophonist and singer, Jesse J. How's it going, Jesse?
Oh, it's going good, Spud. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for calling in and you know, taking your time and chopping it up with me on the Producers Corner. I really do appreciate it. I'm a huge fan of your work, and it's truly an honor.
Thanks, Spud. It's an honor for me to be on your show. I've heard great things about you, and I'm excited.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, before we get into the questions, Jesse, you know, I really got to take my hat off to you. The two CDs I've heard, self-titled Tequila Moon and True Love, heavy music structure and arrangement on that. I mean, it's, the composition is just phenomenal. I mean, there's so much variety of music and different genres of compositions really put together. I mean, it's one of the CDs where I feel that I can always pull to and I can always get a different atmosphere in my own head, what's going on in me. It really takes me to different moods, and it's really inspiring, and I play along with your music all the time. One track in general, in particular, I play along with you is the Tropical Rain off the True Love CD. I love that song so much, and it's in G minor too, so you know, I love playing in G minor as a keyboardist, so
that's funny. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I really enjoy the process of writing and creating music and also arranging it. And it's fun, too, to create music for different voices. Like, the tenor has a personality. The soprano sax has a, you know, a sound of its own. And then when you mix the, you know, the flute, when it doubles the keyboard, or if you use, like, a percussion sound, and then there's just so many different ways to create music and create sound and color and all of that. So I feel like it's a real blessing to be able to do it. And I'm actually working on my next album right now as we speak.
Wow, amazing. You know, what's interesting, Jesse, you brought up one of my traits I do as a keyboardist, that, you know, you mentioned creating layers on top of other instruments and patches and sounds. I like when you're adding the different colors, that really stands out to me as a listener. When I hear other saxophonists and instrumentals add different layers on top of their existing lead instrument, that really stands out, and that's great.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it's, you know, it's something that a lot of people do. And for me, it's fun to find harmonies that can complement the melody that's already there. Or, you know, like we talked about, finding a cool string sound, or even, you know, doubling the harmony with the voice or something like that. There's so many different ways to create music. It's fun every time because it's different every time.
Oh, exactly. You know, Jesse, for everybody who doesn't know about you, give me a little background of how when you started as a musician and, you know, where you're at now. I mean, because I just feel you're just really a heavy hitter. So, you know, give me that journey from start into now where you're at.
All right. Well, I guess my love with music began as a little girl when I was, like, you know, very small, like 2 years old. My dad would put on his records, and my sister and I, we would dance to the music. And it was fun music, like Plácido Domingo, Los Panchos, mariachi music, also Burt Bacharach, you know, some old school stuff. And I always really loved music. And even when we had parties growing up, because I'm Mexican-American, so we had fiestas that were all night long, quinceañeras, cumpleaños. There was always a reason to get together and for my family, you know, to party.
So, wow.
My parents would hire a band to come set up in the living room. They would do their sound check. And my sister and I would always be, you know, peeping around the corner to see what their instruments looked like. And then eventually we were so interested, when I was 4, I started playing the piano. And again, it was a joint thing. My sister did it with me. And I guess it makes it more fun when you have someone doing the same exact thing as you.
Yeah.
And then from there, we already learned how to read music and how to play it. And it was time to do the elementary band program. And I wanted to play the flute, but the band director said there was already too many people playing the flute. And she asked me to play the saxophone. So
wow.
That was my only option. Yeah, it wasn't like saxophone or, you know, clarinet or French horn. I was just like, oh, sorry, saxophone for you. And I just took it. I took it and ran with it. And to me, the sound of the sax kind of cracked me up. because it sounds funny at first. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It has that character and that personality that's kind of comical. So I would just practice for fun, and then it turned into more of a serious thing for me. When I was in sixth grade, I really, really started digging in, joined the jazz band, elementary school jazz band, and started hearing songs from Cannonball Adderley and John Coltrane. And so by the time I was 15, I was already doing professional work in my town and also right outside of Southern California with my own little jazz combo. We would play like Now's the Time and, you know, just regular standards, jazz standards. And when I went to USC, I had a decision to choose either piano or saxophone, because at that point I had to just really do one for a degree. And I chose the saxophone because my band director suggested it would be a better outlet for me as far as, you know, creating a career out of it. He was saying that, you know, there's a lot of classical pianists in the world, and it was more, I guess, special in a way to be a jazz saxophonist, because you could do a lot of different things, studio work, jazz work, classical work, rock tours. And then he said, you know, you can always play keyboards, you already have that skill, so you don't have to study it. And he said, you should do jazz saxophone. So I took his advice, and I became a jazz studies major at USC, and that really helped shape and gave me a really strong background in the foundation of the history of jazz, you know, modern music, Afro-Cuban music, everything. Yeah, so I got to really get into my composing at that time, too. I was in a combo. John Clayton was one of my teachers, and we would study music from the greats. And then I also studied with Jeff Clayton, who was my primary saxophone teacher. And he is this amazing facility on the horn. And from there, I started doing some tours with, like, Jessica Simpson and The Temptations. I did some studio work with Michael Bublé. And then I joined up with Michael Bolton. I've been in his band for about 4 years now. And most recently, I toured with Seal for a little bit. And I also did an off-Broadway show called Blast. So, you know, I've been very blessed, and I'm very thankful to be able to say that I've only done music as a career and profession my whole life. So I feel very fortunate for that. But I also don't take it for granted. You know, when I'm home, I'm practicing every day. And it's just a part of my life now. You know, I love music. I love to practice it. And, you know, sometimes I would rather do that than do anything else. So,
definitely.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at today. Yesterday, I just recorded a song with Kirk Whalum for his new CD. He's doing a Donny Hathaway tribute. So it was a real blessing to be able to play with one of my huge saxophone heroes. And he is just an amazing person and musician and everything. So
right, I was going to say, I know you're a huge fan of Kirk Whalum. I know you've been following his career for a while, and I definitely hear a lot of influence in your style of playing. And it's always really nice and special that, you know, you have talented people that are able to implement some of their own heroes' licks and chops into their own style of play and really make it their own. I mean, that's totally amazing. You're doing a great job of that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Now, you've also worked with so many other heavy hitters in industry, Jesse J. I mean, like Jeff Lober, Jeff Golub, Huge Groove, and Mr. Paul Brown, who I've also interviewed. He's just totally amazing producer and a musician. How has that impacted your creative flow in the studio and on stage? I mean, how were you able to bring all that those experiences from all different backgrounds into your own sound?
Yeah, great question. Well, actually, I really enjoy collaborating. You know, collaborations, I think, bring out the best in people. For instance, you know, with Jeff Golub is so bluesy, so when I get to perform with him and watch how he creates music on stage, it's a whole other thing. He has a lot of Jeff Beck influence and stuff like that. He's more of a rocker, too. So he influences me like that in a performance way. And then, you know, playing with Jeff Lorber, he's just like crazy fusion, his chords, and just like so out. You know how he is.
Oh, totally. It's like George Duke, you know, Herbie Hancock. They really get into their fusion. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, so playing with Jeff Lorber and the way that he shapes his solos, I mean, every time I hear him, I'm blown away. It's just, you know, it's just like he's a genius. So I learned a lot from playing with him. I had to step it up a notch. And then working with Paul Brown, he's all about the groove and making sure it feels good. So that's a definite bonus when you're in the studio and you want to just have a good time. He doesn't let the stress creep in at all. He's really fun to work with in the studio. And we have a good flow. because we usually, you know, get together for pre-production, and it'll be very chill. We'll just, like, have a glass of wine and go over the songs and change, you know, elements or arrange the tunes, or, you know, he'll say, oh, hey, check out this beat or whatever, and we'll just go from there. So it's very organic, and the conceptual phase is actually my most favorite stage of writing, and that's when you just talk about, okay, the CD is going to be like this, so what does that mean to you? What's the vibe? How will the songs be in performance versus studio? What musicians do you want to play on this? And, you know, it's just like getting to paint a whole picture from scratch. So Paul Brown is really fun to be able to work with on that level, and also the record company, you know, I have to give them props because they've been very supportive. Also my manager Steve Chapman and their whole team, they've all lent great advice to me because, you know, I'm a new artist. This is my second year signed with Concord and Peak and stuff, so I'm learning as I go. It's kind of in a little experiment.
Oh, definitely. You know, I always tell everybody, I mean, there's so many different stages in music. I mean, their first stage, obviously, is to really develop your craft as a musician. And, you know, the other journey that takes forever, and that's always a continual journey, is the music craft as well as the business side of music. So, I mean, you know, everybody feels like a newbie at times.
That's funny. Well, you got it together. You got your stuff together. That's for sure.
You know, Jesse, when composing your material, and because it's so heavy in composition and arrangements, do you work with a team of writers and producers to start the material, or do you usually create the basic foundation of the song yourself and then bring it to the producers and writers to finish it up?
Yeah, I usually, you know, like to start off, it's usually a story behind every song, especially on my last CD, True Love. You know, it's about, true love is about finding perfect peace and harmony with the one thing that you love the most. It could be anything. It could be a person. It could be an element of life. It could be a memory that you had or feeling, emotion, something like that. But for me, the analogy is that true love for me is music. So when I play that song, it's just like, feels like everything's at peace.
Sure.
So that song came together a couple years ago, and that's one song that I just did on my own. But there's a lot of other songs like Tequila Moon, where Paul Brown and myself, Paul Brown, and one other person, we wrote that song together. And then there's other times like Tropical Rain was also a three-person song. Greg Carucas, Paul Brown, and I, we wrote that song together. So a lot of times it'll be just like I'll have an idea, like for a song, Fiesta Velada, which from Tequila Moon is like an all-night party. And that was a song that I had been playing for a long time, too, with my Latin jazz group. And then Paul Brown kind of smoothed it out, made it more contemporary jazz. So sometimes, you know, it just comes together the way it's supposed to. Sometimes I'll just be here thinking of something. Sometimes it'll be Paul Brown will have an idea. Or sometimes, you know, we'll work with an outside writer. But mainly it's just Paul Brown and I that work on stuff together.
Nice. I mean, again, he's such a diverse producer. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Paul Brown really has an extensive background as a recording engineer. I mean, he's really mixed a lot of CDs and really done a lot of nice stuff as an engineer in the studio. So, I mean, he's, you know, definitely one of my heroes as overall musician and engineer. So hats off to Paul Brown.
He's very talented. Yes, multi-talented.
You know, being a live player myself, Jesse J., and having the studio background experience as well, you know, I feel that everybody finds a certain zone and create a flow in certain environments. Do you find that being on stage, or do you feel having that structured environment in a studio where you can take more time in your compositions and really put it together? What really gives you that creative flow where you really feel like you're in the zone?
Well, definitely the funnest thing for me is to perform live. I mean, I feel like I love to entertain people, to be on stage and connecting. I'm a very, I guess, personable person. I love people. So I have a lot of friends. You know, I always keep in touch with everyone that I meet. Like, we'll probably keep in touch after this interview.
Definitely.
And that's something that I just, you know, I'm happy to do. I'm happy to meet new people and keep in touch with them networking-wise. And then as far as writing and getting into the studio, that's a whole other, like, mindset for me, because that's more of, like, you know, just being very dedicated and studious, and it's fun. I like it. I think I like performing more. The creative stages, I just kind of leave the doors open. I could be creative at 1 a.m., you know, just an idea will come to me, and then I have to go play it or write it or sing it and record it or something. I try to just be open all the time to new ideas. And if I'm feeling a specific emotion of sadness or hope or joy of some like extreme measure, then I'll try to reflect on that while I'm feeling it so I can record it.
Definitely.
So,
no, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, having the studio, I mean, it's always, I feel that I can always go, if I need to go back to school and just brush up on a few things on my own and to really zone in on a specific artist, you know, the studio allows me to pour out all of my ideas and really, you know, put things to perspective and sort all the ideas together so I can perform it live. And, you know, sometimes when I do my compositions, I always try to keep in mind that I'm performing this for a live setting in a studio environment. And I think that's really important for composers and producers to also keep in mind. You know, it's one thing to have a studio track, but is it going to translate well and perform well on stage for the artist? You know, and you know,
Yeah,
all of your compositions. I mean, it's something that I feel that I can play and I can get along and jam with the band, even on an improv session with your compositions. I mean, I just felt that they were really put together well from a production standpoint and from a musician standpoint to be able to pick up and aspire them to play along with you. And it's just amazing with your material.
Thanks. Yeah, one of the things that I love to do before I actually record a song is to just jam on it. I have a friend that lives here locally, and he's already been over a couple of times to play through my new material for the new CD. We'll just jam on certain chords. So there's different inversions, there's different, you know, extensions you can use on a chord. It makes all the difference in the voicing for the melody. So I'll say, okay, try it as a G11. Okay, now try flat 9 chord. Let's see how this sounds. Okay, change it to C, whatever. So we're always experimenting. I always have my ears open. It's always changeable. There's nothing set in stone. You know, if there's a better way to do it, I'd rather do it that way. And like you said, the music comes to life when you play it. So that makes a big difference.
Oh, totally. You know, with your band that I hear and see, do you have a performing band that's pretty consistent on all of your records, you know, with Paul Brown and some of the other musicians you work with? Do you have a studio musician that you hired out for the sessions? I mean, is it a mix of both, or?
Yeah, you know, here in California and locally to the West Coast, I travel with my band. It's called DW3. They're an awesome, awesome band. Wow. And then when I'm touring on the East Coast, I have another band that I perform with. And then if I'm, like, going to Texas, there's another group of musicians that I play with. So I kind of have pockets of musicians around the country that I work with. Because it's really more economical to do it that way, to tour and have even musicians that know your material in different areas.
Sure.
And as far as studio musicians go, I was introduced to Roberto Valle through Paul Brown, who's played the bass on all of my CDs. And then also Richie Gajate Garcia is a percussionist that I've known for like 10 years now. And he's amazing. He's one of the best in the world. He's played with, like, Diana Ross and everybody you could ever think of. He's
wow.
played with Phil Collins, and he does all the movies in town. But he's been a great mentor to me, and he plays on the studio, and he does all my live gigs, too. So he's the one common thread between everyone.
Nice.
And then keyboardist, of course, Greg Kouroukas, and also Ricky Peterson, and drum producer Joe Gonzalez, Oscar Seaton, Chad Wright. And then guitar, you know, Paul Brown.
Definitely. So, you know, Jessie J, I know you have your CD that you're working on, your new CD. What else do we have on play? I mean, what's upcoming for you now?
Well, I have a lot of tour dates coming up. In February, I'll be doing a Ladies in Pink Jazz All-Star group to benefit music in schools. So that's here in Hollywood. And then I'm going to be traveling to the East Coast, hitting Detroit, Toledo, and Toronto with Alexander Zonjic. That's going to be really fun. We're doing a series of Valentine's shows.
Wow.
And then I'll be back. Yeah. And I'll be back here on February 14th with the Norman Brown Valentine's Day show. I'll be doing the Norman Brown Summer Storm this summer also, featuring Norman Brown, Phil Perry, Linda Russell, and myself. That's going to be a great tour.
Phil Perry's an excellent vocalist.
Yeah. There's a real deal. So, and then I'm going to Florida the next day after that. In February, I'm doing a very special Disney Jazz Celebration where I'm going to be working with thousands of young kids in a clinic setting. We're going to perform for them, talk to them about being a musician and, you know, networking, practicing, all of the things that they might have questions about, touring and stuff like that, but mainly just inspiring them to fulfill their dreams, whatever it may be, you know, being a pediatrician or, you know, I don't know, being a musician or being a teacher, whatever their desires are.
Sure, definitely.
And then I'm going to be hitting an international circuit, Jakarta Jazz Festival, as well as shows in London, and then Texas, and other things coming up. So, you know, all of the dates are on my website, jessiej.com, Jessie with the Y and just the letter J. And I also try to stay really up to date with all my Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff. I'm very into social networking and YouTubing and stuff.
Wow. Full plate on your schedule, definitely. That's
Thanks,
a good
well,
thing,
though.
I know
though. That you like to keep busy.
Oh, that's a good thing. You stay employed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to hustle, you know?
Definitely. Well, Jessie J, it's been a pleasure and an honor speaking with you again. And again, I'm a huge fan. And, you know, I don't want to give too much of the CD, which you got upcoming on your new CD. But what new things can we, you know, look from me on this new CD?
The common denominators will be that it's jazz. It's still going to have, you know, kind of a sexy, cool vibe. And it's going to have an overall just kind of world feel to it, like the passion that we have for living and stuff. And the music is going to be inspired from my travels. I did a lot of touring last year with Michael Bolton's band into the Middle East and also to other parts of Europe and Italy. And while I was there, I was inspired by specific events that I wrote about. So I'll share those with you on my next upcoming project.
Amazing. I can't wait to hear it. Well, I do appreciate you coming by, Jessie J, taking the time to chop it up with me on the Producer's Corner. You have a spot here anytime. I would love to have you back and talk about your new endeavors.
Oh, thank you so much, Spud.
Man.
And best of luck to you also. And thank you for sharing your time with me and, you know, making yourself available and helping so many artists with through your interviews and everything.
Thank you, Jessie. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Great. Well, you have a great one and good luck to you in the future.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to Jessie J for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. You know, it's always an honor for me talking to other musicians who I really feel that are really on top of their game creatively. And, you know, Jessie J is one of those musicians who I feel just always bring great music, great compositions, great ideas. And it's always inspiring listening to her music, man. It just really takes you to another level of what she does, man. And I really appreciate what she does as a musician. You know, to get more information on Jessie J, you really need to take a look at her website. She's got a really detailed and very interactive website that's really hot, man. And the website is www.jessiej.com. And Jessie spelled J-E-S-S-Y and then J.com. So www.jessiej.com. And again, I want to thank her for coming on the show. And she definitely has a spot here at the Producer's Corner, man. I would love to have her back and talk about her new endeavors. And for questions and suggestions, you can hit my website up as well and my email. My email is spudtootight@gmail.com and www.spudtootightmusic.ning.com. And I'm also available on iTunes under a podcast for music. So you go to iTunes, go to the podcast, type in the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight and click on my image logo, and you can hear my interviews, my past interviews and my current interviews as well. And I want to thank everybody for joining and listening in. And for the remainder of the show, I'm going to let Jessie J's one of her tracks play out, man. Is for, you know, it's a really good love theme song and just goes well with the Valentine's weekend. So the song is called True Love, and I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy this one. So I just want to again thank you for joining and listening in. And until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.